I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show on CBS Audio Network, and I'm joined by Veronique de Regier of the Mercatus Center to comment on the COVID relief from the U.S. government, Mr. Trump and Mr. Biden, and the future of COVID relief. Indefinite future, if I understand the recent terms of the stimulus package, $1.9 trillion. Veronique, I don't know how long they're going to spend this new $1.9 trillion. A WAG has updated all of this by saying, in the old days, a billion here, a billion there, pretty soon you're talking about real money. Now we have to say a trillion here, a trillion there, you're talking about real money. Is that trillions from last year and the trillions from this year, is that going to make the recovery faster? Is it going to help us? Good evening to you.
Good evening. Well, so the one that passed last year, the CARE Act, for instance, some aspect of it would definitely release spending, but in the new bill, basically most of it, like 90% of it, even with if you have a very conservative understanding of relief, is not really related to the pandemic. It has nothing to do with it. Some of the spending extends way out of 2021, 22, 23, 24. I think some of the school spending goes to 2028. The only real relief, you and I know this, is that just open the economy and let Americans work and entrepreneurs do what they do best.
If I understand the new stimulus, it's sometimes called stimulus, it's sometimes called relief. The new stimulus is going to be spent after 2022, which we can hope is a time of great recovery. So the cynics say that that bill is a dream list for Democratic partisans. I want to believe that Mr. Biden has other plans. So what do you see this doing for our economy? Does the government spending mean that we're going to recover faster? Does it mean that we'll return to the prosperity of the winter of 20 faster?
This can't be in any way, shape, or form actually compared to a stimulus bill. For one thing, it's like it's way too big to even be justified on the traditional justification terms, even of the Keynesian. For instance, if you just assume that the money should be to fill the output gap, so the difference between where we would have been without the pandemic and where we are now, right? This you would have needed probably $300 billion, not $1.9. Trillion dollars. So no matter how you look at it, it's not a stimulus bill. And the other thing is that when you look at the particular items in it, basically you see that a lot of it is like it is in fact like a wish list for Democrats, like things that they really hope that once they're in place, even on a temporary basis, they're going to be able to extend permanently.
The stimulus bill, the relief bill, all into the future. However, there is this other part that is uncomfortable for some partisans to speak of, but I find it easy. It's called taxes. Taxes, very easy to tax. And Mr. Biden has more plans to spend money. I believe there's an infrastructure bill following the stimulus bill. Taxes, however, have to do with the politics of taxes. And you write about the wealth tax. What is the wealth tax, especially the wealth tax advanced by two allies of Mr. Biden? That would be Senator Warren and Senator Sanders. What does it look like?
Well, what they want to do is basically apply a rate that seems insignificant and small, like, you know, like 0.2% on income above, you know, millions and millions of dollars. But the problem with this is that, as always, there's a big difference between the people who actually are going to be writing the check and the people who really shoulder the economic burden. And one of the things that we know about the wealth tax, because it's been tried in many European countries and then they have had to abandon it, is that, of course, if you tax capital, and also it's like it's hard to administer, because when we talk about wealth, we're talking about wine collection, paintings and things like this, which are extremely hard to assess. But for the part of the capital that is, you know, very mobile, basically that capital flies away and exits. And there are ways to rearrange your wealth in order to minimize the amount of tax. And what that does, because there's a profound misunderstanding about what this wealth is used for. It's not gold that you hide under your bed. It's actually capital that is invested in the economy. And as a result, when you have a wealth tax, you see that there's less capital accumulation that happens, and in terms, less innovation, and it ends up penalizing those in the real economy that are not wealthy, who would benefit either through the expansion, like being able to borrow this capital and expand their businesses, or the workers in those enterprises. So it's just not a good tax, and we have so much evidence to show it.
The news these last days is that President Biden, the various terms are used, balks, hesitates, steps back, from the wealth tax recommended by Senator Warren and Senator Sanders. The multi-trillion dollar Build Back Better initiative will not be paid for by the wealth tax. What is the hesitation? What is the reason you wouldn't go forward with taxing the rich? That is the rhetoric.
Well, so first, let's be very clear that President Biden really wants to tax the rich, just not through a wealth tax. And I think that could be because of the influence of Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen, who it doesn't seem, from what I've read, to be convinced by a wealth tax. Let me tell you what happened in France. In France, again, this is a tax that's extremely hard to administer because you need to report everything that you owned and what value do you ascribe to each of it. So the administration and being able to monitor all this was extremely, extremely punishing. And because people would leave France, rich people would leave France, they ended up collecting barely anything from it. So high administrative costs, no revenue raised, massive distortion to capital. They observed even less investments than they had before. And as such, what the French did is that they moved away from the kind of wealth tax that they had. Instead, they taxed real estate, which is just much easier to assess. So I think there's an academic understanding of all of this. And I think that some, thankfully, in the Biden administration have an understanding of this literature. It's not because they're moving away from a wealth tax that they are sound on taxation. I mean, when you look at the fact that they just announced they want to reverse all the tax reform of 2017, including move away from the 21% corporate income tax rate, again, totally misunderstanding that corporations are never the one really who pay the tax, that the economic burden is actually shouldered in large part by workers. I mean, there's a lot of still misunderstanding in the Biden administration.
The Biden administration does, however, believe that they must pay for their infrastructure bill. And they talk about taxes. They also talk about government spending. Is it your opinion that Mr. Biden can find $3 or $2 trillion in government spending to cut in order to pay for this? Or are we going to get a tax hike? Is that inevitable?
Yeah, I assume we're going to get some tax hikes. I don't know that there will be the appetite, maybe I'm wrong, to implement the full tax hike project by the Democrats. But we're going to get some tax hikes. I think a tax an increase in the corporate income tax is going to be probably the one that that gets the most support. But certainly they're not going to be able to raise the level of revenue that is necessary for their wild spending dreams.
So therefore they can raise that revenue by cutting spending, they can raise that revenue by taxing, or they can raise that revenue by growing the deficit. And I think I know what they're going to choose. Veronique DeRougy of the Mercatus Center, helping us understand the stimulus that's not stimulating and the tax so far, the wealth tax that is not coming so far. I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show on CBS Audio Network.